Welcome back to the Deep Dive. So today, we're not talking about software. Not really. We're going deep, I mean really deep, into the engineering that's going to define the next era of mobile computing.
We're talking about a tiny component, something you'll never see, but it's pretty much the only thing stopping the rumored iPhone 18 Pro from, well, melting.
Exactly. We are diving into this bespoke high-performance cooling system that's supposedly hiding under the surface. Our mission here is to really unpack the physics, the material science, and figure out what it all means for you, for how you'll use this phone for AI, for gaming, 8K video.
And we should probably start by tackling that, you know, that old tech mantra.
Right, the one you always hear, smaller chips mean cooler performance.
And that's the big misconception we have to just dismantle right away. That idea is, it's basically backwards now in the context of something like the A19 Pro.
How so?
Well, yes, the individual transistors, the tiny 2-nanometer ones, they are more energy efficient. But the problem isn't the efficiency of one switch. The crisis is the sheer density.
Okay, let's unpack this. You're talking about the thermal density crisis.
I am. The reports are suggesting the A19 Pro chip will have something like 100 billion transistors.
100 billion. On a piece of silicon that's barely bigger than a thumbnail.
And all that concentrated, super-fast switching activity creates these intense, localized points of heat. We call them hotspots.
But wait, Apple has used graphite heat spreaders for years. Why can't they just, you know, make the spreader bigger? Or add more layers?
Because graphite is a passive solution. It just spreads. It's fine for evening out general warmth, but it's way too slow to move that intense heat away from the processor core fast enough.
So it's a speed issue.
It's totally a speed issue. If you tried to run that A19 Pro at peak load with the old graphite system, the chip would hit its thermal limit and just throttle. It would have to within seconds to avoid destroying itself.
So you don't just spread the heat.
You have to evacuate it. And that's why a phase change system isn't a nice to have anymore. It's a requirement.
Which brings us to the rumored solution. The vapor chamber, or VC. It sounds very high tech.
It is, but it's also, I think, a piece of thermodynamic genius. A vapor chamber isn't just a hump of metal. It's like a tiny self-contained engine.
An engine. Okay, paint me a picture. What does it look like?
Imagine a super thin, flat metal envelope. It's vacuum sealed, and inside there's just a tiny amount of liquid, usually deionized water or some kind of special coolant.
And the magic is how that liquid moves around, this molecular dance you mentioned.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is the speed of it. This cycle, it happens in 4 steps, and it repeats thousands of times every single second.
Okay, so walk me through it. Step one.
Step one is evaporation. The processor gets hot, and the liquid right next to it, in what we call the evaporator zone, boils instantly. And that boiling process sucks up a massive amount of latent heat.
So the heat itself powers the cooling. It turns the liquid into a gas, a vapor.
Right. And that vapor needs somewhere to go, which is step two, transport. The now high-pressure vapor just shoots across the vacuum chamber.
How fast are we talking?
Near sonic speeds. It's basically a heat highway carrying all that concentrated energy away from the chip core almost instantaneously.
That's incredible. So it gets to the other side. Then what?
Then step three, condensation. The hot vapor hits the cooler walls of the chamber, turns back into a liquid, and in doing so, it releases all that heat it was carrying into the phone's metal frame.
Where it can just dissipate into the air.
Yep. And then the final crucial step is the wick return.
The wick?
What's that? It's a microscopic porous mesh that lines the inside of the chamber. The cooled liquid gets pulled back towards the hot processor through that wick using capillary action.
Like how a plant draws water up its stem. So it works no matter how you're holding the phone.
Defies gravity. The whole cycle starts again. And the key takeaway here for you is that this system has a thermal conductivity that's maybe 50 to 100 times higher than a solid piece of copper.
50 to 100 times.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so that changes everything.
It's the difference between a phone that throttles in seconds and one that can sustain peak performance for, well, for hours.
Which begs the question, vapor chambers aren't brand new tech. So why now? Why did Apple wait until the iPhone 18?
Ah, that's where we get to the Apple twist, the real material science nugget. See, standard VCs are heavy, and they're usually made of copper.
And copper is a big problem in an iPhone.
A huge headache. It's heavy, and it messes with all the radio signals and antennas. So the leak suggests they had to invent a custom solution.
Which is?
A hybrid titanium stainless steel vapor chamber. This special alloy seems to solve 3 big problems that copper just couldn't.
Okay, let's break those down. Problem one must be weight.
That's the easy one. Titanium is about 45% lighter than copper. In a phone that's already pushing the limits of comfort, that's a massive saving.
Makes sense. What's number two?
The MagSafe problem. This is a subtle one, but it's critical for the user experience.
Oh, right. If you have a big slab of copper under the charging coil.
It creates something called eddy currents. The magnetic field from the charger basically gets blocked or weakened. Your MagSafe connection would be unreliable or just super inefficient. This new alloy is engineered to be magnetically neutral. It lets the field pass right through.
So cooling doesn't break the ecosystem. That's smart. And the third solution.
This is really clever. They're supposedly designing the VC plate to double as a structural part of the phone's frame, a mid-frame.
So it's not just cooling, it's making the phone stronger.
Exactly. Stiffer, more resistant to bending. We're also hearing rumors that they got it down to an insane thickness, something like 0.25 millimeters, compared to a standard VC that's closer to 0.4.
So this thing isn't just about keeping the phone from overheating. It's about enabling a new kind of computing. And here's where it gets really interesting.
The AI factor.
Let's talk AI.
Yeah.
The neural processing unit, the NPU, is becoming the new furnace inside these phones. And I think what a lot of analysts miss is the idea of sustained load.
Totally. We're not talking about quick bursts of power anymore. With Apple Intelligence, with LLMs running locally on the device, that phone is constantly working in the background.
It's indexing your emails, analyzing your photos, trying to predict what you'll do next.
Precisely. And that's not like opening an app. That is a heavy, consistent, sustained load on the NPU. Without this kind of cooling, the phone would just be perpetually warm in your pocket.
And worse, the AI would feel slow.
Yeah.
Laggy. It would lose that feeling of being intelligent.
The vapor chamber is the essential infrastructure for on-device AI. It keeps the NPU in that perfect thermal window so the AI is always ready, always instant.
But I think the people who will feel the most immediate change are gamers.
Oh, without a doubt. Apple loves to say the iPhone is a gaming console, but any serious gamer knows the reality right now.
I know exactly what you're talking about, that burning hotspot right next to the camera bump.
Yes. I've tried to play some of these high-end games, and after 15 minutes, it's physically uncomfortable to hold.
Yeah.
And then comes the real nightmare.
The display dimming algorithm.
Ugh, yes. The phone gets too hot, and to protect the screen and the battery, the OS just cuts the brightness in half. Suddenly, your game is unplayable.
So the VC fixes this. How?
Three ways. One, no more dimming. The system is moving heat so efficiently, the display controller never gets hot enough to trigger that safety protocol.
Okay.
Two, flatline FPS, frame rates. Instead of that beautiful 60 frames per second dropping off a cliff to 30 after 10 minutes, you get to maintain that peak performance for hours.
And three, my personal favorite, cool hands.
Cool hands. By spreading the heat across the entire back of the phone, that one painful hot spot is just gone. It makes marathon gaming sessions actually comfortable.
Gaming is one thing, but what about the pro use cases? The rumors are all pointing to 8K ProRes video recording.
That is a colossal workload. You are processing 33 million pixels 60 times every second. I mean, professional mirrorless cameras, cameras that cost thousands of dollars, overheat trying to do that.
So for the iPhone, the VC is just mandatory.
Absolutely. Because it's not just cooling the A19 Pro. It has to cool the whole camera stack.
Yeah.
All that data processing puts incredible strain on the ISP.
The image signal processor, the chip that turns the raw sensor data into the final picture.
Correct. And if that sensor gets too hot, your image quality just tanks. You get a ton of digital noise, ugly artifacts. The VC pulls heat away from the sensor and the ISP, keeping your 8K footage clean and sharp, even on a long take.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, you can see these two different philosophies emerging when you look at the competition.
You can. On one side, you have, say, a Samsung with what you could call a brute force approach. They use a huge, thick copper vapor chamber.
Maximum cooling power for gaming.
Right. It's all about raw, bursty performance. It works, but it's heavy. Then you have Apple's rumored approach.
Which is more of an integrated approach.
Exactly. The hybrid Ti-Steel VC, it's ultra thin, it's light, it doesn't mess with MagSafe, and it's part of the phone's structure. And its primary focus seems to be on sustained NPU and AI performance.
It's Apple betting that the future isn't just about gaming geeks, but about all-day background AI.
I think so. And it shows why the pro moniker is really earned here. They've stopped just fighting physics with passive spreaders. Now they're using thermodynamics to their advantage.
The device is moving from being thermally constrained to being thermally enabled.
That's a great way to put it. This prepares a phone that isn't just fast in benchmarks you read online. It's fast in the real world, whether you're editing a movie or just letting the AI organize your life. The performance just stays there.
So what does this all mean? It boils down to this. Putting 100 billion transistors on a chip the size of your fingernail and then asking it to run complex AI all day long created a problem that old tech couldn't solve. The hybrid Tai steel vapor chamber isn't a luxury feature. It's the absolute foundation for the entire iPhone 18 Pro experience.
I agree. This marks a real turning point.
It does. I think the iPhone 18 Pro signals the moment that passive cooling was officially declared dead for high-performance mobile. This shift from just spreading heat to actively managing it with phase-change thermodynamics, it fundamentally changes what performance even means.
And it unlocks the next generation of devices.
Exactly. So here's a thought to leave you with. Think about what this thermal breakthrough means for things where heat is even more critical than a phone. Imagine lightweight AR glasses worn right on your face that need to run for hours without becoming uncomfortable or dangerous. That's the next frontier this technology has just unlocked. We'll leave you with that to think about. Until next time, keep digging deeper.